good to be able to stand before you today, and it's nice to have one of our lights back here so that we can see a little bit better. I know that we had some difficulties with the storm the other day, and it knocked that out, but they worked hard to try to get all of that fixed and back online, and I know they're doing a good job trying to do that, and we appreciate the efforts there. Again, we're thankful that you're here, and especially if you happen to be visiting with us this morning, we are certainly thankful for your presence and your attendance. I want to invite everyone and echo the sentiments of Andy as he announced it earlier about the Congregation Appreciation Fellowship that we have this evening. We're looking very forward to that and hope that you are too. We're going to have some really good stuff there. I've already sampled some of it, and shame on me, but it's really good, so you need to come and taste some of it, we're looking forward to that very much this evening. Just enjoy getting to be together anytime we have that opportunity and that privilege. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can go ahead and open them to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to be talking about the way of discipleship this morning. And we're going to look at verses 57 through 62. And I want to read those at this time with you. Let's look at this today. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, when we take a look at this story, Jesus has discussions with three different people about discipleship. Now, two of the instances here of the ones that have been mentioned, they actually initiate the conversation. But in one example, Jesus gives instructions that he wants followed by one of those disciples. Now, if you go back and look at the context of what's going on here, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. In fact, the scriptures record that his mind was set, or his heart was set, on getting to Jerusalem. And he had come to some of the Samaritan villages, and they could tell that his heart wasn't necessarily there. And so they kind of rejected him, and it led to some of the disciples wanting to bring down fire upon those cities or those villages. And so Jesus is on his way. So you kind of get the idea that Jesus is going to Jerusalem and there's an entourage with him. There's a group of disciples. There are people that are following him and they're walking along beside him as he's making his way. And so during the course of this journey, there are some conversations that break out. And two of those conversations, people initiate, and one Jesus gives instructions to. But in each case, the interaction teaches what is involved in discipleship. And so what I want us to do is I want us to examine these three examples in this story so that we can come to appreciate what the Lord wants us to know about discipleship. Now, the first thing that we're going to mention is this. The way of discipleship is not always easy and comfortable. We go back to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 and 58. And you've got this individual who comes to Jesus, and he says to him, I will follow you wherever you go. You ever known of individuals who want to say something to be liked? They say something so that somebody else will think they're significant, or maybe they want to be a friend, or they want to say something positive, and maybe they make a bold statement. And that's what happens on this occasion. We've got a guy here, he walks up to Jesus, he says, I want you to know, I will follow you wherever you go. Who has made bold proclamations before in your life? Maybe you've made some before and you've regretted making them. Maybe you've made some statements like, you know what, this will never happen if it comes to my family, only to have that happen when it comes to your family. Maybe you've made bold statements like that to appear wise or to be on somebody's side when it comes to their beliefs or their ideas or what. Anyways, whatever it was, this guy, he wanted to make a statement and he wanted to get Jesus' attention, and maybe he wanted Jesus to like him. He wanted Jesus' approval, whatever it was. So he says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, when most people are doing that, they're wanting some response, some positive response from the person that they're saying that to. Like, "Oh, wow, let me validate your comment by saying, you're a great person. That's fantastic. You're going to do wonderful things for the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that you have this attitude." That's what we're looking for, some validation. So the man may have walked up and said, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go," expecting Jesus to give him a pat on the back. But what does Jesus say to him? He says, if you're going to make a bold statement like that, you need to be fully aware of what this is going to involve. Let me tell you what you're asking for. It says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You want to be my disciple? Sometimes you're going to have to sleep outside. Sometimes you're going to be the outcast. Now, maybe Jesus was meaning that in a literal sense, but certainly it applies to us in a spiritual, symbolic way. Sometimes we're going to be on the outside looking in. We're going to be the outcast if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus. Why? Because the way of discipleship is not always easy and comfortable. It's not. Jesus says, if you're expecting to have great comfort in following me, I want you to understand what you're saying, what you're asking for when you say you're going to follow me wherever I go. Now, you think about this today, and it comes to religion. People want religion to conform to societal ideals, don't they? Why? Because we want our religion to be comfortable. We want our religion to be easy. We want our religion to be convenient for us. And that's not the case. People don't want to make changes to their lifestyles. So I've got this lifestyle that I love and I'm enjoying very much. It's easy, it's convenient to me. How can I fit religion around what I want? And that's where we've gotten to today in religion. How can I conform what I want to believe into my religious practices? We've gotten easy and we've gotten comfortable. You know, you think about some of these, and some folks might have this idea that I'm not planning on having to make any changes in my life or commit to any inconvenient service duties for the church. I really just want to show up. I want to clock in, punch my time clock. I just want to be there, but I really don't want to do anything that's going to be inconvenient or uncomfortable. I don't want to stand out. I'd like to be lost in the crowd a little bit. I'd like for a few people to know that I'm there so that we can make sure that we get it tracked. But I'm not interested in the inconvenient service duties that I might be called upon to do as a Christian. And I'm certainly not interested in getting into conflict with other people over what they want to believe and what I believe. Certainly not what the Bible teaches. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, the way of discipleship is not always easy. It's not always comfortable. Sometimes discipleship might bring persecution. It might bring disdain. It might even bring poverty. When I think about an example of this, I can't help but go back to thinking of the Apostle Paul. And how that throughout the course of living as a Christian and preaching the gospel, even among the people that he preached to, he met adversaries and difficulty and disdain. I think about the persecutions that he endured. I think about the poverty that he experienced. When the Apostle Paul became a Christian, he left that old way of life and he became a disciple and he suffered physical things because of that decision. It wasn't easy and it wasn't comfortable. Go back and read. He was naked. He was destitute. He's been without food. He's been without water. Perhaps he's been without shelter. He's been in the cold. He's had all of these things happen to him. He had given up that old life. I don't know what his life was like before, but I got an idea that maybe he was not a poor fella. He certainly had some type of clout in the Jewish nation and within their religion. He was a rising star, perhaps, of Judaism at that time. Maybe he had plenty of money. Maybe he was taken care of. He certainly had power, and people knew who he was. And he gave all of that up so that he could become a disciple. And he chose this lifestyle that led him to persecution, disdain, even among those people that he preached to initially, and poverty. So the way of discipleship is not always easy and comfortable. And that's what Jesus wanted this first fellow to understand. Next, the way of discipleship is urgent and primary. In Luke 9, 59 and 60 says, to another he said, follow me. But he said, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now I want us to stop here, and I want us to analyze something here initially. Two times in the English Standard Version, it's rendered this way. In verse 59 and again in verse 61, the respondents said this, let me first. Did you get that? Me first. First. Me first. That's what the text indicates. Let me first. If the follower said, let me first, that means Jesus is at least second. You see the order? Jesus wanted this individual to understand that discipleship is urgent and primary. Primary. This person says, let me first. Now, Jesus, here's the example of where Jesus gives this specific fellow some instruction. Follow me. This guy wasn't necessarily approaching Jesus. Maybe he was just there in the crowd, but Jesus looked at him and he said to another one, follow me. And that guy said, okay, let me first go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom. This is urgent. This takes precedence. This is primary. It's not you first. It's me first, Jesus speaking. You've been saying me first all along, and it can't be you. You've got to put me first. And so it's urgent and it's primary. Now, there's two thoughts that I want us to consider about this fella and his father. Father may have passed away. May have still been alive. Have you ever thought about that? The scriptures don't indicate necessarily that the father had passed away right then. Maybe he was saying, you know, I've got these family things that I need to take care of. If I leave and if I come and follow you right now, that might not be popular with mom and dad. So let me first bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. Maybe it was the case that the father had passed away and that he needed to go back home and fulfill his obligations as a son and get everything taken care of as far as the funeral arrangements were. Scriptures don't say that that was necessarily the case. Maybe this guy was just saying, you know what? Family comes first. What the family wants, what the family believes. How often has that stood in the way of people becoming disciples of Jesus Christ because maybe their family didn't feel that way? Now, when Jesus is talking about let the dead bury their own dead, I don't know that he's just necessarily talking about physically dead. Maybe he's talking about those that are spiritually dead too. let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. But you need to be alive to Jesus, and you need to become a disciple. And it's urgent, and it's primary, and it can't wait. Something that has to be done now. And so why won't you right now to go and proclaim the kingdom of God? I need you to put me first. But how many of us don't put Jesus first in our life? We allow the spiritually dead to influence us from doing what we should do as disciples. The way of discipleship is urgent and it is primary. And Jesus wanted us to understand that. Now, closely associated to that is this last thought. The way of discipleship is not half-hearted. Well, if it's Jesus is not primary and if discipleship to Him is not urgent, then obviously you're not putting all of your efforts into it. So it kind of goes along with this idea. But to illustrate this point a little further, that discipleship, the way of discipleship is not half-hearted. We look at this last encounter. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let, and here it is our phrase again, me first say farewell to those at my home. Me first. That stands in the way of discipleship to Jesus a lot, doesn't it? Me first. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, when you give this kind of non-committal answer, and notice what it says, I will follow you. The idea behind I will follow you is that what? This is going to happen in the future. I'm not ready to do it now. I'm not committed to this. Listen, I may need to go back home. I got to say goodbye to some folks. I got to get some things situated. In a lot of cases, when people decide not to follow Jesus initially, it's because you'll hear something like, I want to go sow my wild oats. I want to go find myself first. I want to go have a good time. Then I will follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. When you go and sow wild oats, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap wild oats. If you think that you can go out and you can plant wild oats in your life, and those plants, after you have planted them and cultivated them, are not going to take root and influence you in your life, and you're not going to be saddled with wild oats, you're wrong. That's what you've planted. So for somebody to say, I want to go sow my wild oats, and then I'll come and follow Jesus, most often, when you sow the wild oats what? They stay. They stay. So I got to go back home. This non-committal attitude can trigger old lifestyles. I get back involved with the people that I was back involved with before, and they pull me down and they lead me astray. Nope. When it's time to follow Jesus, it's time to follow Him now, and it's time to follow Him with full commitment. I want us to analyze verse 62 for just a second, and I want us to look at the two things that we can find there. Number one, I want to talk about plowing straight. Here, Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you. I know there are some here that have had this privilege and this opportunity, but I have never stood behind a mule, and I have never strapped on a plow and walked through a garden. I have, however, with Jack's help, had a tiller, you know, and I've done that a few times, making some rows. I can tell you, if I were doing this right here and doing this like this, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to plow straight. You know, we go in line flag football fields every year, and we joke with each other because we get out there and we have the little sprayers because we have to pull the string to make the line straight, and then we get the sprayers out there and we walk. And sometimes I've looked back at those lines when I finished, And you'd have believed I had something to drink that morning before I got through. Maybe I turned around and looked at something. Maybe I don't know what. Sometimes that line does like. I was embarrassed the other day. I got caught on the string. I think I moved that thing 3 feet over. I had to go out there and scratch that thing up and repaint it because I was walking crooked. I couldn't stay on the straight path. You cannot stay on the straight path if you're looking behind you. How many of you have ever been guilty? And I know you have, because I have too. And I'm telling you today that you don't need to do it, so don't do it anymore. How many of you have had something in the back seat of your car that you needed to grab? And as soon as you do that, what happens? Whichever way that you're reaching is the way that you will veer that car. Without fail, you will get off course. Why? You're looking. You cannot drive straight. You cannot plow straight if you're not looking forward and staying on the course. We can't veer off. Focus has got to be right on Jesus. And then he says, if you look back, you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You look up that word, fit, in the Scriptures, and you're going to find that its meaning is well-placed or appropriate. So what he's saying is, if you're the kind of person who is looking back as you're trying to serve Jesus, you're not well-placed. And you're not appropriate for the kingdom of God. That's pretty strong, isn't it? For Jesus to sell that man that's walking with him, you're not appropriate for the kingdom of God. You don't fit. I don't want that to be the case. That's going to be the statement that's made to countless millions of people one of these days when Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. In other words, he's going to say, you know what? You are not appropriate for the kingdom of God. You don't fit. You can't come. The question is, am I going to take what Jesus says about discipleship to heart? Am I going to allow it to influence me in the way that it should, or am I going to turn my back, continue down the path that maybe I've been trotting before? Folks, as we look at this story today, the way of discipleship is not always easy and comfortable. It is urgent and primary, and it's not a half-hearted commitment. We want you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, you need to understand that there are some expectations for you as a Christian. We will tell you this, the rewards cannot be measured, nor do they have an equal. And you'll be blessed beyond all you can imagine if you'll be his disciple. But we need to understand what discipleship means. And if we want the blessings that he offers us as his disciples, then there's going to have to be some things that change in our lives as we grow and mature as Christians. If you're having a problem, if you're struggling with something in your life today, if you've been struggling being a disciple of Jesus Christ and you want to make that right with him, we want to assist you. We want to pray with you. We want you to pray with us as we all grow in maturity towards Jesus. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. We want you to go to heaven. You need to respond and repent of your sins, confess to Jesus, Son of God, and be baptized to wash away those sins. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we beg and plead with you to do so while together we stand and sing.